Hey, welcome to church, especially if you're visiting us this morning and tuning in from far and wide. We'd want to say aloha. And as you heard, we are in this series called Face-to-Face Encounters with Jesus That Transforms. And yes, Jesus had these face-to-face encounters with so many people. Yes, this happened 2,000 years ago, but we were saying in church that, yes, you still can encounter, you can meet Jesus in that amazing, transformative way, even today. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus still can heal?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Do you believe Jesus still can provide?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Oh,
yes. Deliver us from some stuff that we're going through? Yes, he can do all that.
Yes, he
does. And last week, we heard about, or we read about, or we looked into a story of how Jesus, and then interestingly, he didn't encounter her. She encountered him, or she took the initiative, I should say, to encounter him. And she got over so many obstacles, right? So many barriers, so many offenses to get to Jesus. And Jesus saw that and he said, you know what? I'm going to heal you. Well, she didn't need the healing. It's her daughter that needed the healing, right? And so we learned last week, I said, if you could take home anything, you got to take home the phrase, get over it, right? Get over it, because you may have to get over some of those offenses that you have been experiencing or thinking about others that will stop you to encounter Jesus. And today, it's another get. Can you say, get on it?
Get on it.
Get on it.
Get on it.
Yeah, I say, okay, what are we going to learn about this encounter, about getting on it? We'll learn about that today. It's really a story about this guy who was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And he couldn't get to Jesus, but he had a secret weapon to get to Jesus. And you know what that secret weapon was? Yeah, Jesus, of course. But he couldn't get to Jesus, so he had some friends. He had some friends that actually carried him to Jesus so that he would get his healing, because he couldn't get to Jesus on his own. So we will hear about that today. And you're thinking, I came here today. I walked to church. In fact, I think I met most of you coming to church, and I don't see anyone in wheelchairs, right? Everyone was able to come to our service by walking. So you may be thinking, oh, this story, this encounter is not for me, Pastor. Why are we going to be talking about a paralyzed man? But I want to say to you, I think at times in our lives, we face, I call it spiritual paralysis. Can you say that? Spiritual paralysis. We can't walk spiritually. We don't have the faith enough to approach Jesus. We feel so hurt. We feel so exhausted that we are stuck. And we don't have the strength to approach Jesus. Or we feel he's so far away. We're going to be talking about, because maybe some of you have experienced that in the past. Or maybe some of you are going through that today. Jesus is so far away. I cannot get to him. I've tried, but it's hard for me to believe right now. And so maybe, just maybe, you may need some others that who have more faith than you at that moment that can help you, to carry you, pray for you, and actually carry you to our healer himself, and that's Jesus. We're going to be looking at this story today. Are you ready to learn? To get on it? Can you say get on it? Yes, you're going to be learning how to get on it. And you say, well, get on what? Okay, we'll learn. So let's take out your notes, and we'll be reading from this story that happens in the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. So he's about 30 years old when this happens, and it's the title of this message is Face-to-Face Encounters with a Paralyzed Man of Capernaum. And so, the message is get on it. And let's see. Let's read about this miracle that took place. Let's read. Ready? Go. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus, seeing their faith. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Isn't this a neat kind of short story of how this man needed to be healed? He had four, I call them friends. They didn't say friends, but four people that carried him. They dug a hole into the roof. They brought him in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Oh, seeing their faith, you're healed." I'm going to be talking about this story this morning. And, you know, some of the group just came back from the Holy Land, right? Tom, you were there, right? How many days did you spend near Capernaum on the Lake of Galilee? Half the time, right? Yeah, half the time they stayed in the place where Jesus did many of his miracles, right? And so that's Capernaum. Well, that's the sign that where Capernaum is, right? That's Jaylee and Mark. That's about a week ago that picture was taken in Capernaum. So they were there. And you're thinking, okay, wow, what's it like? Just to picture what this place maybe is like and what it could have been like 2,000 years ago. And I just got an aerial view. See, what's that body of water behind that? That's the? Yeah. Sea of Galilee. Right, Mona? Right? Right? Did you guys swim in there? Yeah. You guys ate fish from there, right? Yeah, it wasn't good, I heard, right? Yeah, better. A local tilapia, more tasty, right? yeah, they had tilapia, the Peter's tilapia. But yeah, so that's Capernaum. That's the ruins of an old part. Well, old. All of it is old, right? 2,000 years ago. And Kelly, you guys were there, right? You guys went to this place, and I'll just show. That's the ruins of the first century, the early home. So there were small houses, you know, small houses. That were there. And I just, you know, look at, of course, what people do over the years, right? Centuries, hundreds of years, they build structures, right? There's a Catholic church, and they say, this is a Catholic church built upon Peter's mom's house, right? So they get to worship God and look at Peter's mom's house underneath. There's a glass window, right? Right there. That's the church right now. And this is the Byzantine, you know, like a Greek that after Byzantine Empire that came up, and they built their church above the synagogue where Jesus taught. That's what they said. It's the synagogue of Jesus. The synagogue, they didn't have churches then. They had Jewish places of worship called synagogues. And they said, that's where Jesus taught. Of course, later they build stuff on top of it. But these are the homes. These are the ruins. And I'm thinking, okay, it was crowded, right? It was crowded. People coming from all around to hear him. All his news went around, right? He was the healer. He was the miracle worker. And there was no cell phones, right? No internet. So everything was word of mouth. And his fame went around and people heard he was the healer. So all around the Sea of Galilee, people would come. Right, they would come, and they knew he was back home, so everyone came. And just thinking about a house like that, right? It's so small, and they're crowding around, right? There were no ushers to usher people in, no ticket that you could take to stand in line. Everyone just rushing around this place. No even porter potties, right? They had to go into the Sea of Galilee and do their business. This was something that was happening. All to see Jesus doing this amazing miracle. Well, I want us to do some Bible study this morning, okay? To take this short encounter and just kind of make some observations this morning so that we can kind of think how this 2,000-year-old story of the healing of this paralyzed man can relate to us today. How's that? You ready to learn?
Yes.
You got to say, get on it. Okay, good. You're going to get on it today. So write in your notes, right? What did it take for this face-to-face encounter to happen? What did it take? What had to occur? I want you to write, number one, of course, you need a paralyzed person, right? You need a paralyzed person. Anyone like that today? Paralyzed? Okay. Anybody has been paralyzed? Riley, you should raise your hand, Riley, right? All right. Can I ask you this now? Can you raise, all of you raise your hands? Okay, all of you raise your hands. All of you listening? Okay. Raise your hands. Keep them up there. Okay, just hear me. How many of you guys have been paralyzed? You go, no, that's not me. I want to say this. You can put your hands down. You know, I want to say there will be times, if you're young, or there have been times for you that are older, that you will experience a time that you are going to go through some hard times in life. Even in your belief in Jesus, you'll have a moment where you go like, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I need help. I don't know where to turn. I know, Jesus, you're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the one that can comfort me, but I don't sense that. I feel that you are far away and I can't get to you. And I'm spiritually paralyzed. I'm spiritually paralyzed. Can't get myself to you. Now, we don't get much information from this paralyzed guy. We don't know if he was paralyzed from birth. We don't know if he got into an accident. We don't know about his parents. I know some of the religious leaders back then thought if you had a handicap, you were blind or you couldn't walk, they thought maybe you did something bad or your parents did something bad that you're like this right now. It's like Christian karma, you know what I mean? We don't believe that, but you know what I mean? Like, oh, bachi, because you, bachi, ataruyo. Something happened to you, so therefore like, you become like this, right? So some people believe that. We don't get to hear about that. We just know for sure that, right? In fact, we don't even hear if he was desperate, right? Because we don't see him crying, I need help, carry me. We don't even hear that. But one thing we know for sure, that he was allowed or to be carried. These four men top the roof, witnessed them digging a hole through the roof and being brought down in front of Jesus. That's what we hear. That's what we are certain about. And I'm saying this. If you live long enough, you will go through, all of us will go through. How many of you have gone through a difficult time in your life? Right? In fact, this is what Peter says. Okay, Peter, right? You know, Peter, right? He wrote letters, a couple letters that circulated around the Mediterranean area for the Christians. He wrote this letter, and in the letter, he wrote this line. And let's read it. Strange were happening to you. Don't think something strange is happening to you. We will all go through some fiery trials. Like fiery. I don't feel fire, but you know what I mean? How many of you in your life have gone through a fiery trial? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. The rest of you, really? Right? All of us have gone through some difficulties, whether it's relational or fiery trials, whether it's an employment fiery trial, right? Maybe it's a physical fiery trial, cancer or some physical ailment, a workplace situation. A lot of fiery trials. I know of people go through relational, right? That's the most difficult I see, fiery trials that people go through. It says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. This is life. And life has a way, right, of just having a heart. Oh, I wasn't even ready for that. I was just following you, God, and this thing happens. A lot of times it happens to our kids. Face that. We'll all face that. That's yes, we may not be physically unable to walk, but a lot of times I'm saying that, you know, I define being spiritually paralyzed or having spiritual paralysis is this. Suffering from either mental, emotional, or physical exhaustion and struggle to find hope in God because you're feeling out of control. Does that make sense? Yes. You're struggling to find hope in God. You're stuck in your situation. And that's why many people come to church, don't you, right? You're going through a hard time and you're looking for hope. You're looking for those moments where we're going through a fiery trial. The only thing that can help us in those hard times really is to have some friends. Yeah, I don't need to be carried. But you're stuck in this situation. We all can see it. So many people can see it. You need to see it doing something. When you can admit, hey, I need help here. Amen. That starts the road to recovery, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right? If you're a social worker or counselor, you know, right? Right? You got to say, admit, I have a problem. I have a problem. I'm an alcoholic, right? Well, whatever, right?
Yes.
I'm an abuser. I have anger issues. Starts with that. And thing is, well, that's not good, but it's good that you start there. Now I can do something. And of course, Jesus says, I can do something. Takes somebody with humility to say, you know, I need help. And I believe he had that. Because the guy could say, you know what, why are you carrying me to Jesus? Leave me alone. He didn't say that. He was allowed to be carried. You know, you think, wow, us pastors, right? Oh, you guys, champions of faith, always smiling, always compassionate, loving. Oh, let me tell you, sometimes Tuesday mornings come, we have staff meetings, we come here all, you know, emotionally, spiritually tired, you know? We come to staff meetings and sometimes we need to be carried. So every Tuesday morning you can pray for us because we meet in the staff meeting together. And this is what we do in staff meetings. We start out with, it's peace. We praise God, right? For who he is. We share praise reports about the things that are happening in our own lives and with the lives of people that we, in our brothers and sisters in the church. We share, oh, this is what happened. This is an amazing thing that happened in my life. And wow, Brother Ben, you gotta hear this about Brother Ben. Oh, Brother Tom, you know. Oh, so many things are happening. We share. That takes up half the time or sometimes more. Right? Then, right, we pray or we plan. So it's all praying and planning. That we plan, we pray, right? And that's what we do the whole time. But sometimes in the midst of us sharing praise reports, you share, man. I'm going through some rough times. A pastor. Now, we're pastors, right? Now, listen. This is the first time I've been a pastor. I've never been a pastor before. Right? I've never been a father before. I've never been a husband before. Do you understand? Yes. I go through all these situations. I need help. Can you give me some advice? I need you guys to pray for me. Our senior pastor, Pastor Mike, has never been a senior pastor before. This is his first senior pastor church. Pastor Mark, he's a young pastor himself, young kids, right? He needs some help. Amen. We all need some help, right? Amen. If pastors need some help, I'm thinking you guys need help, don't you? Yes. And I'm so glad I have this group of pastors we can meet together with and pray for one another. We got each other's back. So many pastors, so many Christian leaders go it alone. And I'm thinking, that can be our story too. We can go through this life alone, not having people to be around us to carry us to Jesus. We need that because we won't have the faith, we won't have the experience, we won't have the wisdom enough at times to carry ourselves to Jesus. Does that make sense? We need others to say, you know what, I have faith. You may not have it right now, but let me carry you to Jesus. I can be there. But we need to first start with saying, I'm paralyzed, right? I'm paralyzed. I'm physically, emotionally, I'm spiritually exhausted. I need somebody to help me. Starts there. So I hope you're here in a good place this morning that you can be free to admit I need help. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay, we all need help at times. Maybe not at this moment, but some of you, I think, would say, I need help right now. So second item that was needed for this miracle to happen is I want you to write in your notes, four faith-filled friends, FFFs, four faith-filled friends. I wanted to add another F, the fantastic four faith-filled friends, because there were four guys, right? The faith-filled, can you say it? Four faith-filled friends. How many of you need that kind of people in your life? Right? Faith-filled friends. When you don't have that faith, kind of faith, somebody else will say, you know, I can believe for you. Or let's believe together. We need those kind of friends. And I want to share with you some of the qualities of these four faith-filled friends, okay? And I call these guys Matt friends. Can you say Matt friends? Yeah, Matt. Not Matthew friends. Matt friends. People of the Matt. People willing to carry you to Jesus. Got it? Matt friends. Okay, what? It's all C's, okay? You know how you have BFFs? You guys know what BFFs have? You know what BFF is? If you're young, you know, what is BFFs? What is that? Best friends forever, right? Right? You say, oh, he's my BFF, or she's my BFF. Well, no, guys don't say that, right? Yeah. Girls say that, right? She's my BFF, right? So today is your FFFs. FFFs. Faithful, yeah, he's my FFF, or she's my FFF. Yes, Ben, you're my FFF. You know what I'm saying? We can, you're my FFF. Yes. So I want you to write one, courageous. Can you say courageous? Yeah, they were courageous, right? They went to extreme measures to carry their friend to Jesus. Courageous, courageous, courageous. They didn't care, right, about breaking down this person's roof. Right? You don't hear about the owner getting angry. If I was the guy who owned that house and somebody made a hole in my roof, I would be angry. I would like, what are you doing? You better have the money to pay for that. Right? You can pay for that. Courageous. They went through some amazing efforts to get them to Jesus. Now picture this. Black Friday sales are starting soon, right? I mean, you don't have to wait till Black Friday. Just picture this. Best Buy, right? Costco, Walmart, right? Black Friday comes around. People are waiting for hours, sometimes days in front of Best Buy, right? All to purchase that TV, that $150 TV, you know, whatever it is, right? Who was standing in line for 2 days, right? You see the news reports, right? What if, right, at that time, right, you come, and you go, no, 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 with your friends, right? Four friends, you come, and you stand right in the front of the line. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, guys. I never need wait. I'm going to stand right here. It's okay, right? What would happen? Huh? Hey, get out of here. I was here 2 days ago. You wait in the back of the line. No, but you waited for me. Let me stand here. Everyone would be like scrapping, right? Whoa! We waited. We paid good time, you know. But let's see. The door opens, right? The door opens. Everyone what? Bomb rush. Oh, the big deal. Ah, they're rushing in wall-to-wall people because they want this $150 TV or something, right? Just think. It's all for a TV, but this is the real deal Jesus. Right? Real deal. Everyone's going to and seeing Jesus, bum rushing him and wanting, touch me, Jesus. Heal me. Have a word for me, Jesus. Right? And then you hear, what? What are you guys doing? Wait in line. Right? Courageous. Courageous. They didn't care. Sometimes we need friends like that. No care. We need to get you to Jesus right now. Whatever it takes. How many of you would need that kind of courageous friends? Whatever it takes. We need that. Don't we? We need that kind of friends. That would be willing to do whatever it takes. Courageous. Because sometimes you can be a person so stubborn, not needing help. I don't care. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to carry you because you don't see it, but you need to be carried to Jesus, right? Let me carry you. Let me carry you. We need those kind of people in our lives. We need that. I want you to write number two. We need to have compassionate friends. Compassionate. These four men love this friend. Loved them so much that they said, you know what? Wow, we cannot leave you like this. We got to do something. We got to carry you to Jesus. And they could have said, well, we'll just pray for you. Or, you know, we'll just carry you in the back of the line. No, they did something even more than amazing. Their compassion led to action. So, you know, we cannot just feel pity for you. Can't just pity for you. Oh, poor thing, you. Kawaiso na ne. Right? Can I just say, we have to do something. Let's do something. Well, let's do something. Let's bring you to Jesus. That compassion. Willing to do whatever it takes. I know many of you have some people that you know that are spiritually stuck, right? Spiritually paralyzed, right? You know what I'm saying? Needing some help. Maybe God is speaking to you today and saying, you know what? I need to be that kind of friend. Compassionate enough to do something of action. To bring them to Jesus. And maybe God has placed you in that person's life to be the one to usher, or maybe with you and somebody else, to usher that person to Jesus. To have that kind of heart of compassion. Not to stop just by feeling pity, but action to do something. We all need that. So glad for those people in my life that have had so much compassion for me. I think I've shared this many times before. I was so set on going to Japan to be a missionary for life. I'm so glad that I had some friends before that spoken to my life and said, Earl, I know you want to go, but maybe Gail is not there yet. You know, why would you want to go and force her to go when she's not there? Yeah, but she just got to get on and just come. I'm so glad I had some friends. Earl, don't you think if God wants to lead you to Japan to be a missionary forever, he would lead your wife too? 게. I don't even regret that. I'm so glad I'm here. I still can speak Japanese somewhat to friends, you know? Japanese people in our church, right? Yeah. And plus, too, need one somebody for help translate the Pidgin Bible, right? That's why I got to tell you about that later on. But anyway, we need to have the compassionate friends, right? Would you agree? Can we all commit to be that kind of friends to somebody in need? Next, I want you to write another quality of a FFF, faith-filled friend, is creative. Can you believe this, guys? How creative this situation, this man was. He's lying on the mat. Think, right? They had so much compassion. How are we getting him to Jesus? Oh, we don't need to wait in line. We'll just dig a hole through the roof. Creative, right? Crazy, maybe he too. And let's lure him to Jesus, right? Yeah, we'll get some flack, we'll get some scolding, we'll get some bad looks, stink eyes, but you know what? We'll get them to Jesus, right? Ask for forgiveness later. Bring them to creative. Sometimes we need to figure out creative ways to get people to God. And I want to share this. Can you take out the give thanks flyer right now? Can you do that? I don't know if it's so creative. We've been doing this for years now. But this is one way we have decided to make a difference during this season. How many of you have your own personal Thanksgiving plans? Raise your hand. Personal Thanksgiving plans. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Hi. That's great. Some of you have two or three, don't you? Right? These guys that we give these lunches to, dinners to, gift bags to, they don't have any plans. Because they don't have enough on their own to be thankful for. You know what I'm saying? So what we do is we identify these families, we create meals, right? And we send them out. And over the years, I've been like, because my family comes in, my brother comes in from out of town, we usually have a Thanksgiving lunch. But we've changed it now. We have a Thanksgiving dinner. And I now am involved in not just helping to make the meals. I go and I'm involved in actually delivering those meals to the people. And it's so great because I can be the one to think, wow, man, this is a gift for you, but I also can pray with you. In fact, we always ask, what can we pray for you for? What needs do you have that we can pray for you? None of the people say, hey, no need to pray for me. Just give me the lunch. Right? Oh, they're so grateful. Thank you for lunch. And yeah, I don't have anything, but you know what? There's one thing that you can pray for me for. And so we pray and we can just usher them to Jesus. Does that make sense? This year, I mean, if you have your own plans, you know, don't hear me say, got to change them, but ask the Lord, what can I do this year to be involved? Maybe this year, the first time you can not just give something, but you can be involved in actually being the ones to give these gift bags or gift lunches. How many of you have been in that role? How many? Yeah. How's it, Cole and Audrey? Yeah, amazing, right? When you have that opportunity. You see the people you're making a difference for. Opportunities to pray. So can I encourage you, maybe take that opportunity, give something, but you know, let's do something creative this year from your life. Make a difference. Last, I want you to write in this that needed to happen. Okay, and you go thinking, okay, what is this about? Okay, the next one is a mat. Can you say a mat? Wait, Pastor, what is this mat? Yeah, the mat was needed. Why was the mat needed, church? Why was it needed? Why? Right? It was something that they needed to carry the men to Jesus, right? Right, Angelina, right? They needed that platform. They needed that structure. They needed something to carry the men to Jesus. That was 2,000 years ago in this particular miracle. I'm not saying to you guys, go to Walmart and pick up a mat. I'm not saying that, buy a mat. And I'm saying that. But what I'm saying is we need a structure. We need a setting for people to get on a mat so that we can carry them to Jesus. Would you agree? Right? Okay, so you know what? Can you become mat friends sitting in a church like this every Sunday? If this is all you do in your Christian life, can you become mat friends like this?
No.
Huh?
No.
No. Can everyone say no?
No.
Yeah, I'm doing the talking. I don't know what's happening in your life, David. We got to turn our chairs together. We have a dialogue, right? We need to turn our chairs, have a setting where we can share and have a setting where we can get to know each other's stories. That's why this, what's happening weekend service is just like the open house door we talked about. It's beyond this that we hope that you can find Matt friends. Beyond this, a lot of our, you can find Matt friends. You know where you can find Matt friends? Yeah. I'm thinking, where you find them? Well, it's in our church, but it happens where? Yes, I know, sometimes at McDonald's, sometimes at Zippy's, sometimes at the park. But you know what happens? Many times it happens. It happens in what? Homes. It happens in homes. It happens, we call them Ohana groups, family groups. Ohana groups, where people get together, right? And one reason I like Ohana group situation is I look forward to a good meal. Yeah, because a lot of the groups, they potluck, right? And Hawaii, you don't just bring enough for yourself. You bring enough for everybody. And you know how much food get and always leftovers. Oh, Earl, Pastor, take home. No. Take home. No. Third time. Okay. But you know, it's more than the food. It's the fellowship. It's about having time with Matt friends. But you see, guys, I talk to people in church. And, right? How many of you are in this kind of Matt friend groups? How many? Raise your hand high. Hi. Come on. That's it. Doreen, you have your Wahine group, Doreen, right? Hi. Can I see that? The rest of you, you're missing out. And I'm saying that with love, okay? Because we need to have a situation where we can have these places where we can get on the mat. And not only we can get on the mat, we need to get into a situation we can carry people to Jesus, does some things for us as well, the people caring. And we have all these groups, and you know, this is a busy time of year, but January 1st, we're going to be organizing again. But we need some mats. So I know some of your homes. You guys have nice houses, you guys. I know many of you live in this kind of big house. Like, oh, I look around. What is some good mat place? Can I ask you to be open to kind of hosting a mat? Obusan, you have a choke house. Your kid's gone already, Obusan's. Your house. Yeah, I'm just giving them a hard time. But you know what I'm saying? Many of you have, like, I can open up my home. Yeah, but I got to clean them. Yeah? Go clean them then. They're going to come and see my personal stuff. What's wrong with your personal stuff? Oh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know these guys. That's right, you don't know this, but you're going to get to know these guys. You know what I'm saying? Ben, you guys open a house, right? Matt friends happening in your house. There are people ushered to Jesus. Don't you guys do that? Ushered to Jesus all the time. But we need some leaders too that would say, I'd be willing to lead a group like this. All right, lead a group like this. Can I just share with you? This happened Friday night. I went to this group that just started, and it's a Japanese-speaking Ohana group, right? And I went there, and then, you know, we sang first started singing some Japanese praise music, sambika. So we're singing, right? Singing, that's everything else. And friends said, they're going to bring a friend over, and she's going through a hard time right now. I said, oh, okay, that's good. Good place to come. So that couple comes, brings her friend, and that lady sits down, and already, you know, it's heaviness, right? She starts crying already, singing, and thinking, what's going on? Something's going on with this lady, and we just start sharing and everything else. We don't know what's going on. At least I didn't know. Started sharing, and then I just eventually asked, would you mind sharing what you're going through? Right? And she said, in English, no, Japanese, right? I want her to share in her own heart language. So she started sharing, and I'm trying to listen, and I'm getting angry. I'm getting angry for her. I was like, I can't believe your so-called husband is treating you that way. I can't believe this is happening. And you're like this? Yeah, you have a newborn baby, you're pregnant, and he's abandoning you? I can't believe this. And we're just praying. It's like praying. And I said, can you pray? She says in Japanese, I cannot pray. I don't know what to pray. Oh, it's like, wow. She's spiritually paralyzed at the moment. I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking that's what is happening right there. And everyone is just sharing from their own experiences what they have gone through, helping her and everything. I was thinking, this is what's happening. We are ushering, we're carrying her to Jesus, right? This is an amazing thing. She's, you know, after Monday, I'm not guaranteed a place to stay, a safe place to stay. And then one couple says, the host home couple says, you know what? I have an empty room. You can stay here. And the lady, huh, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bus line ga sugu chikaku desu yo. The bus line to catch so you can go and get see your baby is here. You can, really? And this other couple says, yeah, yeah, yeah. My son, ne, uchi no ko wa, ano, town ni sundemasu yo. My son lives in town, so there's an extra room. You can stay in my house too. Pretty soon, like, yeah. And the other couple said, yeah, you can stay with us too. Everyone is offering their home. And get this, at the end of the night, there would seem like, you know, a sense of lifting up from a place coming in, I cannot pray. I don't know what to pray. To say, you know what? I feel like I can pray now to Jesus. Jesus showed up. And we got to carry this lady to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Come on, guys. Isn't that amazing? I was blown away. I came home and said, honey, too much to share, but God showed up. That's all I want to tell you. God showed up. It's an amazing way. I'll tell you the details later, right? I want you to hear another story of, I get to hang out with these 20-somethings and be young, you know? But they look to me as like, yeah, Pastor, oh, yeah, you know, because they can be my kids. I have a daughter that's 22, a son that's 24. I know I look young, right? Some of you, maybe not. But yeah, they can be my kids. But I want to share, have you hear about one of the leaders, our finest, one of our youngest and brightest leaders, to share about his experience in our 20-somethings Ohana group. Can you help me welcome up Rai Nakapa'ahu as he shares this morning?
Good morning, everybody. I come from Kaneohe, so I had to wake up early this morning and drive over here. So, but anyway, I started coming to New Hope Central Ahumilani in August of 2018. A few months before that, my girlfriend started to attend with her Uncle Brian and Auntie Debbie Shinzato. One weekend, she asked me if I wanted to attend, and I was like, sure, okay, why not? Nothing bad can come from church. Little did I know that once I started coming here regularly, a lot changed in my life. A lot to do with my career, my relationships, and my priorities. And I truly believe that God had a hand in that. And at that point forward, I fully accepted Jesus to my life and was eager to follow his word. A few months after coming regularly, got to get a little closer to Pastor Earl and other church members. Kaylee had asked Pastor Earl if there was a Ohana group for people our age, around that 20-year-old age. At the time, there wasn't. So he gave the idea of why not start the group and be co-leaders together. At first, I was a little skeptical. We were pretty new to faith, didn't know how to lead a group, an Ohana group, but he gave great guidance and great teachings and the confidence to actually lead the group, and we started our 20-somethings Ohana group in October of the same year. Be together in that Ohana group, we got to know each other, became really close friends. Our faith grew exponentially. We got a lot of opportunities to fellowship together and do life together. We've had holiday parties. We've attended concerts. We've gone to breakout rooms in Waikiki. We've attended first birthdays and weddings together. And to do life together with this group of people, it makes like a second family. To have that second family, we always rely on each other. So we also have a group chat that we're all in, that if we ever need help, if we ever go through daily struggles, or if we ever have problems in our life, we can reach out to this group, and they're always there, always giving that helping hand, the prayer that we need to keep going, and the healing that we always ask for. For myself, on a personal level, during this past year, we're going on vacation. During this vacation, I was away from home for about maybe a week and a half, and all of a sudden, I got a anxiety attack. For me, it was pretty crazy because that the first time it has ever happened to me, so I didn't know how to react. Luckily, Kaylee was there to comfort me, and together, immediately went straight to God, started to pray, and healing didn't come immediately. Even after we got back home, it still lingered for a few weeks, the feelings of anxiousness and not being in control, and it was super uncomfortable and got me really scared at times. So one evening at Ohana group, I felt something tugging at my heart, which I believe was the Holy Spirit, to tell me that, you know what, you need to get on the mat, you need to get help, because you can't do it by yourself. So at the end of the evening, I asked the group for help, for prayer. I'm just really lucky and really happy that all of them were there to give me that help that I needed and the prayer that I needed. And the healing was even better afterwards as well. Another big life event that happened with this Ohana group was when I got baptized as well. To have them in there with the water in me, to look back and see everyone coming into the water, walking into water with me, I couldn't have asked for a better Ohana group, and I couldn't have been more joyful at the time. Relating to Ohana groups, luckily we can have our Ohana group at our home. We use Uncle Brian and Auntie Debbie's home to have Ohana groups, and it just makes it a lot more intimate. Also having Auntie Debbie and Uncle Brian there, though they're maybe 1 or 2 years older than us, learning from their experiences and what they have to offer just makes the Ohana group, or just makes our experiences a lot more easier, and to learn from them just really helps us out in our lives, because we're all around the same age where we're getting our career started, finishing up school, and looking toward the real challenges of life, marriage, buying a home, having children and all that, and just learning from them, it really does help. On that note, if you're not in Ohana group and you go through trouble, please reach out to Pastor Earl, to anyone in our Ohana group, and I'm sure they'll always be open to accept. Even though our Ohana group only been together for about a year, I really do consider them a second family. And I'm really excited to extend our Ohana group and make sure that we stay close and always just grow in his faith and his word and to be together. So if you're not in Ohana group, please reach out, because if you need help, that's the people you can always go to automatically. Any time of day, I can reach out to my Ohana group, and if I have problems with work or just anything, I feel comfortable and open enough to reach out to them. And I would like everyone to have that ability to reach out and always be welcome no matter what. So thank you.
Thank you, Ryan, just for sharing. And you know, his life is transformed. His life is transforming. I'm so glad that there is a Matt and some friends that he and the rest of the group, and these are the next generation of leaders from our church, you know? And they get to have a family. They get to have a place where they can be ushered to Jesus and they can be there with each other. So I want to, you know, have you respond, because the last, can you stand with me as we close? Because the last important element in this story of healing for the paralyzed man, not only did he have some great faith-filled friends, not only was there a delivery system, a delivery platform for him to be delivered to Jesus, this all wouldn't take place without a healer. And that's Jesus. And I don't know what you guys are going through today. I know some of you, what you're going through today. How many of you say, I need a touch, a fresh encounter, face-to-face encounter with my healer, Jesus? Would you say that? Yes. We need that. And you are here this morning. Maybe some of you are with friends and they have been praying with you. They've been God's gift to you, God's treasures, that they have ushered you to Jesus. But you know what? You don't have to go far. Jesus is right there in your midst. He's right there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to pray. I don't know. I don't have the faith. Well, let us all have faith that God can do his miraculous touch on your life. Yes, you saved in other people's lives. I see it, and you work in everybody else's life. But God, now I need your touch. I need your fresh touch on my life. Can you make that way so that I can touch you this morning? And then God will say, yes, I see your faith. It might be small, but I still see your faith, and I can heal you. I want to touch your life. So this morning, I want to just usher you to Jesus. Usher you to Jesus. So would you just close your eyes right now, and I'll be praying, but I pray that my prayer is what you're praying in your heart. Jesus, you're the healer. Yes. You're the comforter. Yes. You're the one can deliver me from this situation. Jesus, I need your fresh touch. I need to get to you. I need you to be my healer. And I don't have to go far. This morning, you are right here. You're right here. You're so close. So close. In fact, Paul writes this, anyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved, will be saved, will be healed. So just call on his name right now. Can you just say, Jesus, go ahead, church, say, Jesus, I need you to save me. Go ahead. I need you to say, be my Savior. Yes. Yes. And Jesus will say, I see your faith. You're healed. You are healed this morning. You are healed this morning. And the end of this story, there were some religious leaders, Jesus, that mocked you and say, hey, how can you, how dare you? How, it's blasphemy that you can say you can heal this guy. I need your healing touch, not just physically, but deep within my soul. Would you heal me? You healed that guy 2,000 years ago. Jesus, you can heal me now. And if you are here this morning needing that kind of deep healing, deep touch from Jesus in your life, I want to pray with you. If that's you this morning, you're healing, you need God's healing touch on your life for somebody in your life, would you raise your hand and that saying, that's me this morning. I need God's healing touch in my life right now. God, all these hands are going up. You see their hearts of desperation saying, heal me right now. Right now, would you fall on these people's lives in such a way that you would touch them, heal them, deliver them. Give them the faith to know that you're going to help them overcome this situation right now, Lord Jesus, right now. They're admitting to you they need help. They're admitting to you, acknowledging that they can't do it on their own. And you come down in them. Lord Jesus, for everyone who raised their hands this morning or reaching out to you, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for saving us. You saved before, you can save now, and you will save us in the future by your very name. You are our healer, your saver, our Savior. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. And I pray that people have heard you this morning and they said, you know what? It's been too long for me to be like this. I need to reach out and say, I need some friends like this. Or maybe, God, you spoke to somebody this morning and said, you know what? I need to be that kind of friend to those around me, to have the courage, to have the compassion and creativity to carry them to you. God, give me wisdom. I need to do that. People are hurting around me too much. Give me the power. Give me the strength to do that, to usher them to you. And God, if you have resourced me with a mat, a house that can host a home, or maybe resourced me with experience to lead a group, Lord, I want to step out in faith and say, use me, Lord. Use my house. Use me to shepherd others to you. Because, Lord, we can't do this alone. We need others, Lord. We need each other. So, Lord, I thank you so much that you didn't leave us alone. You left us with others that can follow you with me. Dear friends, I can call my faithful friends. Faith-filled friends who are my mad friends, Lord Jesus. I need them. I thank you so much that I have you as well. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we all say, let's give the Lord Jesus a hand.